Randolph
Circle. Yeah, 21-22. Mm-hmm. 21-22. Mm-hmm. Julie, that's right. That's right. That's right. Everybody knew him. Listen, y'all, hang tight. We've got to go to NPR. So just hang tight and we'll be right back, okay? Listen, I want to let everybody know that this is the memorial show honoring Dr. Walter L. Smith. And I want to thank everybody for being here and showing up. I'm getting a lot of great surprises now as the day progresses, and we have a lot more coming here at WMNF 88.5 on the Sunday Forum. This is your host, Walter L. Smith II, along with my main man, Mabili. We'll be right back.
From NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The UK is among the countries reintroducing some COVID-19 restrictions following the discovery of a more highly transmissible variant first detected in South Africa. Britain has confirmed two cases of the Omicron variant, as Vicky Barker reports from London.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the new measures are necessary because it appears even doubly vaccinated people can spread the new Omicron variant.
We're not going to stop people traveling, but we will require anyone who enters the UK to take a PCR test by the end of the second day after their arrival and to self-isolate until they have a negative result.
Face masks will once again be compulsory in British stores and on public transport, and anyone who's come into contact with someone who tests positive for the new variant will have to self-isolate for 10 days. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
Israel's coronavirus cabinet has approved several new measures intended to keep Omicron at bay. They include barring entry to all foreign travelers for the next couple of weeks and the use of a controversial phone monitoring technology to conduct contact tracing. That phone tracking technology is used by Israel's Shin Bet domestic security agency. The measures still need final approval from the full cabinet. The medical director of Moderna says the company should know within a couple of weeks whether its COVID vaccine is effective against the Omicron variant. Paul Burton spoke to the BBC.
We should know about the ability of the current vaccine to provide protection in the next couple of weeks. But the remarkable thing about the mRNA vaccines, the Moderna platform, is that we can move very fast. If we have to make a brand new vaccine, I think that's going to be early 2022 before that's really going to be available. In large quantities.
Voters in Honduras are electing a new president today to succeed Juan Orlando Hernandez. His administration has been tainted by corruption, drug trafficking, and human rights violations, as Maria Martin reports.
Many Honduran voters appear ready for a change from political corruption, grinding poverty, and the debilitating pandemic. Leading in the polls is the center-left candidate Xiomara Castro. But after years of voter fraud, many Hondurans are skeptical of elections. Still, Honduran expert Dr. Dana Frank says people want a different country.
The Honduran people would like democracy. They would like the rule of law. They would like to not be killed by the police. They might not have to flee their own country.
Analysts say it'll be important to watch early voter returns and what the U.S. and the international community will do should there be fraud to tilt the election to the ruling party candidate. For NPR News, I'm Maria Martin.
And you're listening to NPR News. Damage to a historic 400-year-old church is being reported in northern Peru. A 7.5 earthquake struck today. Local media say the church tower collapsed, but that the main atrium appears to still be standing. The quake was centered near the coastal city of Barranca and could be felt in southern Ecuador and in Colombia. More flooding is expected in Washington State and the Canadian province of British Columbia as heavy rain falls in areas that received record rainfall earlier this month. Emma Jacobs has more.
Rains were falling heavily Saturday in Abbotsford, British Columbia, where floodwaters are expected to flow from neighboring Washington State. April and Ed Clewer came to pick up sandbags to place around their home.
Oh, you spilt it.
I spilt it.
That's the gold.
I know.
Residents in likely flood zones are being warned to be prepared to evacuate as several inches of rain are expected to fall in an area that is already heavily saturated. Parts of British Columbia received a normal November's worth of rain over just 2 days earlier this month, causing billions of dollars in damage across the province from floods and landslides. For NPR News, I'm Emma Jacobs in Abbotsford.
On the U.S. side of the border, people in two communities have been asked to voluntarily evacuate because of the potential for flooding. Both towns, Sumas and Everson, saw heavy damage from extreme flooding earlier this month. Flood watches have been issued for much of western and north central Washington this weekend, and an emergency alert says road closures could start this morning. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and Jarl and Pamela Moan, thanking the people who make public radio great every day, and also those who listen.
This is 88.5 FM, worldwide at WMNF.org.
This is a WMNF public service announcement. WMNF is hosting a holiday drive in support of the Bautista Project, a local nonprofit that provides basic living essentials and support to assist homeless community members. From November 29th through December 5th, we will be collecting items such as socks, sweaters, backpacks, and travel-sized toiletries. You may drop off your donations at the station and at the 6th annual You Get Out Festival. More details, including a full list of items, drop-off locations, and times, can be found at WMNF.org/holiday drive.
Hi, I'm Sean, and I hope you tune into my interview show called Tuesday Cafe every Tuesday morning at 10 on 88.5 WMNF. I interview environmentalists, politicians, social justice activists, academics, and other experts about topics that impact you right here in the Tampa Bay area. I focus on issues that are important locally and across the whole state of Florida. The show is called Tuesday Cafe with Sean Canaan. It's every Tuesday morning at 10 on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, and on WMNF.org.
Hi.
WMNF events are back. Join us in celebrating the life and legacy of acclaimed singer-songwriter John Prine with a tribute at Skipper Smokehouse on January 8th.
And I remember every night your ocean eyes are blue. How I miss you in the morning light, like roses miss the dew.
Blow up your TV.
WMNF is returning back to Skipper Smokehouse on January 8th with 14 bands paying tribute to John Prine, including Rebecca Pulley, Talk to Mark, John Clark of the Baker Act, Cottondale Swamp, and more.
Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery.
WMNF presents a tribute to John Prine at Skipper Smokehouse January 8th at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now at 813-238-8001 and WMNF.org. Proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours before the show is required for entry. Proof of full vaccination may be substituted for a negative test result.
Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard. Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know trouble with God. Don't nobody know my trouble with God. Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard.
You are tuned to the Sunday Forum here on WMNF Tampa with your host, Walter L. Smith II. Keep it tuned and keep it calls coming in. We are doing a memorial show to the father, Walter L. Smith Sr.
Down the hill, over the
Hit me to the hip, hip hopper. You don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang. Boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock. You don't stop, rock the rhythm, that'll make your body rock. Well, so far, you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out, I'm the C-A-S-N, the O-V-A, and the rest is F-L-Y. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons I'll tell you why. You see, I'm 6'1", and I'm tons of fun, and I dress to a T. You see, I got more clothes than Muhammad Ali, and I dress so viciously. I got bodyguards, I got two big guns, I definitely ain't the whack. I got a Lincoln Continental.
Yes, rappers delight. So, I don't know if Alina's still there.
Yeah, ma'am.
Look here.
I don't think Alina is.
Somebody
is here. Let's see.
Let's see who it is. Is it Alina?
Can you hear it? WMF.
Yeah, this is Ali. I don't know. I'm here. Or something. I guess you called me online here. How you doing?
All right. So.
What were you saying?
Let me just point this out real quick. Chuck.
Yes,
I got more trouble behind this song.
Wasn't that right?
Chuck, I got so much trouble behind this song in third grade if you are.
Just wouldn't cooperate and act right.
But that beat my behind. Miss Rouse, I never forget Miss Rouse was our teacher. Yeah. And she stood at the door and watched as the whole class just clapping. Everybody clapping. And she just stood there.
Yeah.
And I'll stand up in my seat. Yeah, I'm just going at it, boy. I'm going at it, man. And Miss Ross said, okay. She just stood there and let me just do the whole thing. Yeah. And by the time that thing was over with, she beat my behind.
Oh, my God.
My mom beat my behind. And my daddy beat my behind.
Hey, man. Hey. But there was blessings in them whoopings, man. The people, valuable lessons, good brother.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, let me tell you, man.
You know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we got another caller now. So who's our new caller?
Hello? Hello, how are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Billy?
That's fine, man. I just wanted to, you know, raise my condolences out to you, brother. You know, your father was a world traveler, you know, and he brought wisdom and knowledge to around this. He wasn't what we call a provincial thinker, you know, thinking that everything was going to just happen around in one space. And so he got out and saw the world, and he taught his kids, you know, how to travel the world. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and he raised a great family. You know, I know your sister, she's a pharmacist, and she and her husband traveled with us all, and with my dad and us to Panama, and with that little travel group all over the world, man. We went to Greece and places like that. So, you know, we saw in South Africa, you know. I'm just saying this. You know, that's a mindset, and that comes from the parents who sometimes they didn't have the great opportunities that we had, but they taught us they read a lot, and they taught us to go out there and be what we can be. Don't let any forces jump in your way. And I remember, you know, I was gone from Florida, you know, University, your dad was there, but I always remember saying, we can take a lemon and make lemonade out of it, you know?
Right.
And that was the first time I'd heard that, you know, that's back in my youngin' days, you know, you know, and stuff. But you know what? He was on this earth and he marched to the beat of the drum and took a whole lot of those folks with it. So that's what we'll remember him for, the good things, for the good things and stuff that he tried to do, you know, and stuff. And that's what's important. You get that strength from the good things, the things about doing research and being knowledgeable on a subject matter and stuff like that. And I still got that boy. And speaking of that, I still got my oh, by the way, I got to say this too, because, you know, my boys used to do the Sunday morning show, you know. Hail to the victor valor. Hail to those conquering heroes. Hail to Michigan, the oh, the leaders, the best. You know,
oh, my God. Here
anyways,
we go.
And the other thing, and I want to say this too. I think that your boy, you know, my man there, is it Nabili, right?
Nabili, yes.
Nabili, man. Nabili, I got a good article on you that you need to read. It came out just 2 days ago. And in fact, a Las Vegas station came out with, called WKOS, did an article, did a whole subject matter and showed that how bogus government statistics and government lies and this so-called opioid crisis, Las Vegas, you can finally, they came out and said, listen, this whole thing is bogus. And so, Billy, I got this article. I just put it out there yesterday for you. I should call them. I didn't know how to spell your name correctly. I wanted to call it the Billy Special, but it's there because, brother, I'm here to educate, you know, educate folks to understanding, you know, that research is how you control your destiny. You know, without research, you can't, you know, when you do research, people have to deal with you from your perspective. When you allow research to be done on you, then you have to be dealt with from someone else's perspective. So that's why it's so important for us to get out here and do research and do research on everything and look at every finite issue and be able to, like, for example, that water pollution thing that Brother Walt talked about, you know, had he not been out there doing what he's supposed to do and writing about what he needs to put it. In fact, Brother Walt, you need to write an article and I'll put it within the norms, you know, because we just don't talk about opioid and narcotic analgesic and all that kind of stuff. You know, we talk about everything. If you look at our title, it says medical advocates. You know, we talk about no subject matter unturned, no stone unturned, no subject matter untouched, and no unkicked. So you just look at that, what we say there. So you'll send me an article. I'll put it within the norm, put some pictures with it and stuff like that, so you can get that. These are very important things for us to understand. It's research. And Nabini, if you just text me your the spelling of your name, and I'll put that in the Billy Special. And you need to send me an article too. Whatever subject matter you have there, Brother Nabili, you just make sure you write it out, and I'll be happy to publish it. And you are within the norms.com.
All right.
People need to read. You are within the norms.com. Again, well, you know, what's going to happen is, like I said, I just lost my dad. He's 104, you know, and I lost him back in August, okay? And my dad was from Panama. My mother and father were from Panama. They came to this country in 1951, and 30 days later, I was born. And, you know, my dad, we were descendants of the people who built the Panama Canal for the United States. They saw all the great ships come through the canal and stuff like that prior to World War II, the German and Japanese battleships and those sort of things and stuff. And so, you know, and they lived despite the fact that they were Barbadian. They had come from Barbados and they had come to the canal zone, living under the American jurisdiction, that they were subject to segregation, except they called it the gold and the blue system. So they lived under the American apartheid system as citizens of another country. You know, and imagine that you're born, your parents are from, grandparents from Barbados. They were born in Panama. Now what are they? They're Barbadian citizens and are Panamanian citizens. But as it turned out, they were Panamanian citizens because the Panamanians hated the Americans so bad. And the mistreatment that went on, I mean, you know, everything that the, like you said, is segregation, wherever this flag flew, what so proudly we hail, segregation flew with it. And so this is a story in it itself, you know, how this country, well, you know, not only was it built by African slaves, but it was, mightiness was built by Africans from the Caribbean in that, in the form of the Panama Canal and those sort of things. And that's a subject that people very rarely talk about, you know, that black folk were brought to Panama, but they were there already. But we need to know these type of, here's, this is where this research comes in and those sort of things. So, you know, with that, I'll just speak now, and I'm holding my peace now. And Billy, just send me your name and send me a piece of research. I don't want your name. I want a piece of research from you. If you've done something here, it needs to be talked about, and we will publish it. You are within the norms.com.
Right.
You are within the norms.com. I want you in there, brother. You know, I know you think I dog you out all the time. You don't know. I don't. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. You know, but brother, I'm trying to make you a better person here. So I need you there, brother. Give me an article. Give me something to write so I can put in there for you. And you are within the norms.com. All right?
Hey, Norm. Thank you.
All right. And thank you so much, man, Brother Walton. You'll get through this, brother. You'll always remember the good things about your dad.
Yes, sir.
World travel. Yes, sir. World travel. All right. Now, get that power. That's what he brought into you, man. You carry his name, and you carry his legacy, and you look at those little kids, you look at your dad. But one day, they're going to be a bit mightier than you and bigger than you and taller than you, and they're going to be able to take care of you. So let them carry the wisdom and knowledge of growth. Your dad and stuff, Carl. I know what you did. You got you and your sister. Mighty people, man. Mighty people. Carry that Larry doll. Okay, Bubba?
Hey, we appreciate you, man.
And for now, you're within the norm.
All right.
All right. Bubba.
Everybody check out we are within the norms.com when you get a chance. Hey, listen. You know, one of my father's favorite songs is one that says Amazing Grace. Right?
How sweet the sound. Well,
oh, no.
Oh, not that one.
Nope.
It's just Amazing.
Amazing Grace will always be my song of praise.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it is known as, that song is known as He Looked Beyond My Faults. And I just want to play that.
Looked beyond my faults and saw my needs.
That was one of his favorite songs. So I have it here. And we're going to play it.
You're tuned to the Sunday Forum here on WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty, and I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need, and I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. And how marvelous that grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. He, if not for grace, my soul would be a drifting shape with no safe harbor from the angry waves. But Calvary's cross shines brightest through the darkest of storms. And just in time, His mercy rescued me. And I shall Calvary
to me. And now marvelous that grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults. He saw me in need. Ooh. Ooh.
He looked beyond my faults. Amazing Grace. That was a song that my father, that our father loved greatly. And I thought I'd play that during this memorial service. Let's go to the phones real quick. There's a story behind that reaches deep to me. But nevertheless, let's go to our phone.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the Sunday Forum. Caller, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes. You're on the Sunday Forum. Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Walt. This is John.
Hey, everybody. This is my oldest brother, Colonel John Smith, retired U.S. Army. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. I was just calling first to tell you thanks, for this memorial to Dad. Really touched my heart. And just to kind of reminisce a little bit, if we could, over Dad and all the greatness that he did in the world when he was on this earth. When I was listening to the Amazing Grace song, I was just kind of thinking about him over in the library. And him always being over there, and everybody's asking in the family, you know, what's Dad's doing? And I said he's planning a strategy to educate and motivate people to be the best they can be. So, you know, I think that was a real appropriate song, and appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, our father was a hell of a man. One hell of a man. And he didn't, I don't think in my lifetime, I probably saw Dad tear up and literally drop a tear probably twice in my entire life. I think his lesson to us as males, just as the brothers of the family, right, was that it wasn't that it's not okay to cry. That was just him. Cause he'll hand you a tissue, and he'll give you a hug, and he'll say it's all right. And I just remember, and I'm just literally getting to the point that I can even talk about it. But I remember when our son was born. For those of you who don't know, my son Walter was born deaf, and I remember going to church that morning. My wife says to me, she says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go pray for our son. And I went to Allen Temple, and I sat next to Dad. And this song, that actual song came up, was being sung. And I lost it. I completely lost it. And Dad grabbed my hand. I'll never forget. He grabbed my hand and gave me a tissue.
Yeah.
So
Walt, I think that with that example that you gave just kind of exemplifies our dad. I mean, he was a rock, man. I remember him always telling me, always be strong, always stand up, look people in the eye, shake their hand. Have a strong, firm handshake, and talk. Speak up.
Yep.
Let them know that you're there. And I've always carried that with me, and I've taught my kids that, and now my grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very valuable lesson. And not only did he talk those words, but he exemplified those words.
Yeah.
You could see him in every. In everything he does.
Every single thing.
Every single thing. I remember when Nicole had a friend over, my daughter Nicole had a friend over to the house, and Dad happened to be there. And so the young man comes in, and first thing Dad does, he stands up, he walks over to him, and he shakes his hand. I can tell he tried to squeeze his hand as tight as he possibly could, looked him in the eye, and told him his name and asked the young man, what's your name, young man?
Yeah.
And he said, speak up. Can't hear you. And I just laughed. That was just typical Dad.
It was.
That was just typical Dad. And you could tell that young man knew. He had met somebody.
He
knew that.
Yes.
And so.
By the time you left Dad's presence.
Yeah.
You knew you had met somebody. He didn't tell you who he was or anything like that. He didn't, you know, that wasn't, nah. That wasn't his way, you know.
A lot of times he didn't even say Dr. Walter L. So he'd just say, this is Walter Smith.
Right, that's right.
That's how he approached stuff.
That's right.
And of course, he would always reminisce. And I know you probably have told stories about that, but I don't know whether you remember the land we had out in Florida. And Dad would love to go out there and get on the tractor and plow up some ground and sing.
Yep.
And I remember one time he took me out there and he said, hey, you know what? Let's do this for a project. And we went out to that land, and I thought we were going to just do a little small garden. Pop got up on that tractor, and he must have plowed about an acre of land. A hole. That dry dirt up. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, what is he doing? And I saw him just sitting on that tractor, just singing, having a ball. And he must have plotted about an acre of land, man.
Yep.
And he had, now, did I ever drive the tractor? Nope. I had the hole, and those bugs were stinging me, and I was just digging the little trenches, and of course I had the privilege of him giving me a bag of seeds and telling me to do the seeds.
Drop those seeds in there.
But he was steady plowing, and I was saying, hey, what are you doing? And of course both of us got busy, and the garden never really matured. I think we might have gotten like 3 or 4 watermelons and some cabbage.
The bugs kept eating the doggone watermelon, man. And then the deer would come out there and trample everything and tear it up.
Yeah. So, it was a great time. And I remember afterwards, we did that. I was sweaty, hot. He was a little sweaty hot because, like I said, he stayed on the tractor. We went to McDonald's, and all he could do is talk about, when he was a little boy and how he worked on the farm. And I said, and he said, how'd you like it? And I told him, I said, I did. I told him I did like it. And I said, yeah, you don't have to worry about me being a farmer, because I'm going to go to school. So I can just go to the grocery store and get food. I'm not going to grow it. So we laughed. He just busted out and started laughing about that. And he said, don't worry about it, son. That's going to make you strong. It's going to make you strong. Last thing was, it's going to make you strong.
That's what he loved. He loved to tell us that.
Yeah, he was using reverse psychology.
Yeah.
This is the best reason to go to college.
Yeah.
Look, you
have a choice. You got a choice. You could actually do that if you wanted to. And he would oblige you. He would have obliged you. If you wanted to work on that vineyard, and out there in that garden, you would knock yourself out, and we will make a living for you right there. But no.
Just like the time we lived in South Natick, and you were a little too young to know about this one, Walt, because I think you were able to go and play. But every Saturday, we would go out and on the land that we had, and Dad will take that chainsaw, and he'll go to cutting.
Oh, yeah.
And I would hold the end of the limb for him, but my job was to carry all those logs up the hill and make a stack for wood. And once again, he had a little tractor with a trailer, but I was never able to drive. I was always carrying those logs up. And once again, I'm saying, how many trees is he going to cut? I want to go play some ball,
But it was enough. It was enough, Johnny, that he built a tennis court.
Yeah, he cleared that land out to do that.
Yeah.
And also, of course, we had enough firewood to last us forever.
Right. Yeah.
So, he told me, he said, I think I was 12, 13, and he told me, he said, by the time the summer is over, you're going to have those little bony arms, they're going to have little potatoes on them. So, all of that to say is the same philosophy that Dad taught me or instilled in me. I use the same thing for my son.
Yes.
Jacob.
Right.
And while all the other kids would be playing, I made him every Saturday to go out there and not get on a riding lawnmower, but he got on a push lawnmower, and he pushed the grass and cut the grass.
Yeah.
And he didn't like it at the time, but he understood later on why I was doing that. I wanted to make him strong. I wanted to make him independent. I wanted to build a toughness in him. And he said the same thing. He said, you know what? Yeah, I'm definitely going to school too, because I don't like this. And of course, he went on and got his master's at FAM and played football there. Did great. So, you say all this and we say all these stories, but it goes back to one guy.
That's right.
It goes back to him. He was the foundation.
That's right. Every single one, every single thing. Hold on a second, John. Let me see. We got two calls here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air with Sunday Forum. Caller, what's your name?
Tim.
Who is it?
You left.
Yeah, can you hear? We can hear you. Are you talking to us?
Hello?
have any other callers on the air?
Yes.
Hey, this is Felicia.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I was trying to log in, and I heard John for a while, but
yeah. Are you there?
Yeah.
You there, Felicia?
9963.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's try another one.
Who's this?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
All right. This is Celicia.
Okay. Everybody, this is...
I can hear Vicky in the background. This is... In the car.
Everybody, this is our sister, Celicia. So right now, we have three of the four siblings on the line right now.
All right. I heard Johnny, and he's right. Daddy believed in, I'm the only girl. So I was his favorite daughter.
But that he did murder.
Have an instilling work ethic. And even for me, though I was a girl, he wanted to make sure that I knew how to not have to depend upon a man to do things. So I also had to learn how to push. We used, and it was every weekend, because our yard was big. So by the time we finished the front, we had to go to the back to mow the lawn or to rake leaves, even when the wind was blowing, know how to plant crops, know how to pour concrete for sideways. I remember Andre and I ran away from home at 6. And when I say ran away from home, we just went to the 7-Eleven on the other side of the house.
It was right next door.
Yeah, 50 cents. But that wall and that we were building that morning is still standing today, as is the driveway with our initials in it. And when we came back from 7-Eleven, it was still there for us to do. he was not going to do it. We were going to complete that. And I can laugh about it now because I'm very proud of it. I'm very, very proud of that. He was a dad, you know. Not long ago, somebody asked me at a meeting, Florida bar meeting, did my father like being president? I'm like, I don't know. I guess so. I was just like any other kid. You know, your parents get up, they go to work. But he enjoyed what he did, and he loved FAMU. And that we know, and he loved his family. And that we know. And,
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. And I remember carrying those cinder blocks for that wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we learned how to pack insulation. Remember, it was fiberglass insulation. We had to wear these long gloves or else it'd itch you. And all of those things, how to fix a toilet, how to change tires. And that we had to know because my granddaddy was a mechanic. So even as a girl, there was no girlish things that I had to do. I mean, I needed to do the same things that my brothers did. And Johnny was the older, so Andre, Johnny, and I, and Walter, he was out playing.
I was chilling.
Yeah, Walter.
I was chilling.
Yeah.
I was too hard.
That's a whole nother generation of conversation.
Yeah.
My day came, though, God. No. Woo!
Oh, goodness.
Hey, but you know what, Sal? You're exactly right. And I'm glad you brought it up. It's one thing that two things that Dad loved, and it was family first, but he loved him some FAMU.
Absolutely.
And he used to say sometimes jokingly that his blood was green and orange.
Yep.
His blood ran green and orange. He loved FAMU. And I think one of the reasons is because it represented an institution that grew from humble means into greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And exactly what Dad did, grew from humble me to greatness.
Yes.
And then it gave back to the community by educating
a multitude of young black professionals. And that's what Dad did. And that was the purpose of the library, too, also.
And so. Absolutely, and our home as well, because it's like it was a gathering place. Everybody came there. People had their graduation parties at our house. People we didn't even know. Our weddings at our house, but we may have known a little bit. But it was he was a sharer. Daddy taught us how to share. With others, and that the world was greater than just ourselves. And he demonstrated it, not just taught it by words, but demonstrated it in his actions, whether it was at FAMU, whether it was in on the continent of Africa where he lived, and you guys lived with him off and on. I was the only one, and the only other kids who never lived there. I visited, but I did not go to school there. So you, Andre, and Walter went to school there. And that was just him sharing. That was who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think about the fact that when, you know, Dad's whole objective, for instance, of even being in Africa, so everybody gets an understanding. I'm pretty sure people know that when people come here to this country from other countries, they're doctors there or practice law in those countries. Quite often they cannot practice law here in the United States, which is not considered to be a third world country. So Dad was one of the people who spent a great deal of his his profession articulating educational boundaries, to be able to expand those boundaries and change it so that people would have the respect, the self-respect, the dignity of being able to practice law or be a doctor when they came here to this country.
Or engineering, which is the College of, School of Engineering was then named after him because of that. Yeah. Because he was a STEM. He was a scientist first. So he believed in science, technology, engineering, and math. The angels came. That's who he was.
So he was forward looking in that.
Know that.
That's right. The School of Architecture was named after Dad, and he started most of the schools that you see now on FAMU's campus. As I talked about, the expansion from 5 schools and colleges to 12 schools and colleges is what saved FAMU.
Yeah.
To put it on the same playing ground as the other state university colleges.
Yeah, they were trying their best to take FAMU away.
Yeah.
Constantly. Yeah. At that time, it was the Board of Regents.
Right.
And he fought for that. He fought to keep it an independent entity as it was, as a university, and made it grow.
Absolutely.
And you know, he was working against the odds.
That people don't know about Dad. Dad loved to dance.
Yes, he did.
And he loved to eat.
He couldn't dance. Just like my mother died. He can't dance. All Dad did was pop his fingers and shake his hip.
Yep.
He thought that was dancing.
Yep. Okay. Now, Dad could ballroom dance. Let me tell you, he would glide across that floor. Now, that he could do.
But he loved music, loved Gladys Knight. He was a person. He was Dad, you know? And this is so new and so fresh, only a few days. But I don't know right now if I cry more than I smile or stop more than I cry. But I have a good memory. We know that the sun, it comes out tomorrow. And he would always say, be humble and kind. Be humble and kind. And always be respectful. And I remember that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Our other brother, Andre, is not able to be with us this morning. But I can tell you that one of the reasons is because Andre's dad is he doesn't like to wear his emotion on his sleeve.
Yeah.
So he's not as good at that type of thing as
we all grieve in different ways.
Yeah.
All do it differently. We all have our own memory, though collective memory. And in time he'll be able to talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the other thing, since we all that transition from Thanksgiving, one of the things that my wife reminded me of was, and I don't know whether Dina is listening to this, but Dad loved Dina's sweet potato pie.
Oh, I ate his share and my share this year.
There you go. I remember Dad, and Dennis saying, give me just one of those slices of sweet potato pie.
Yeah, yeah.
And before you go, and the whole pie is gone.
There you go.
He had to have his own pie.
Thanksgiving, will not be the same.
You're right.
But it will bring a smile and tears. But he knew that for him, because he liked to eat and he loved Thanksgiving, that we can smile when we think about him.
Absolutely.
And we will always celebrate him because it'll be a holiday.
Right.
It's a holiday.
Absolutely.
Y'all, give me a minute. We have a call that just came in. Let's get this caller real quick, my Billy.
Yeah, we were able to add the caller. Go ahead, caller. What's your name?
Good morning. This is Fred Hearns.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Hearns?
Little brother, our hearts are heavy today, but, all of us who knew your father have so many memories, and we could all talk for an hour, I know I could, or more, about the lessons that we learned from him. Your mother is on the line, and she's going to speak on my phone. Hold on just a second.
Hey, Mom.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, how are you, Walter?
I'm okay. All right. So, Lucy and John are.
I wanted to give you a perspective on the life of your father that other people may not be able to do. So, you let me know when I can do that.
You can do it now because we have 8 minutes.
Okay.
So let's do it.
There are 3 points. One is he left a legacy. In terms of other young people, especially black boys, who may not have stayed in school, may not have graduated from high school, or may not be looking at graduating from high school. And I want to say to them that Dr. Smith did not graduate from high school. He was a very smart kid, but there were a lot of things that interfered with his continuing through to 12th grade. He went to the Army without having a high school diploma, but he couldn't go far in the Army without one. And he was advised to go back and get a GED. Because he was at his age. He returned to Tampa, and he was wanting to go to Gibbs Junior College. But he had to have a high school diploma or a GED. Mm-hmm. He got the GED. And he went to Gibbs Junior College, became student government president, and left there and went to Florida A&M. And, you guys know that history. But I needed to let young people know that you may be struggling, but you don't have to stay down. There's a possibility for you to rise up and go through some completion and be successful in life, because, everybody is not skewed the same way. So you may not finish when everybody else does finish, but in 12 years after having graduated from Florida A&M University, he returned as president of the university. Number two, he was a one who received
I can't hear Mama.
Different countries who came in to from Africa, and I, of course, was helped. And I want to just say that when I went back to South Africa as a an observer for the Nelson Mandela election, I was taken to a person's home. I didn't know where I was going, and the person didn't know that he was receiving me. But I went, they took me there because they had flushing toilets. And I wouldn't eat or drink while we were out working because there were no flushing toilets. And our driver was concerned about that. When he took me to the home, I did what I needed to have done as a monitor for the election, and I was about to leave. The host called me back in and asked me to wait for a while. He opened up his photo album, and he showed me a picture of myself in his family photo album. He was showing me that he had been to our home in Tallahassee. He had come over, and Dr. Smith was a consultant for them, and of course I worked with him with that, and he wanted to dance. And I was dancing, and there was a picture of the two of us, and out of, I think there were about 10 million households in Greater Johannesburg, and I went through the one where there was a picture of me in their family album.
Wow.
And another point is that when John Smith was over at FAMU ROTC, I was president of the barristers in Tallahassee, and I asked them to let me adopt 20 black boys. And they said, that's what you want to do? You do it. And I did. But what they didn't know is that John Smith was the son of Dr. Walter Smith. I didn't tell them. They didn't ask me. I didn't tell them. But they told me what I wanted to do, that the ROTC would not be able to work with me on that, and they wouldn't do it because we had I didn't know. They were veterans. I had no idea, right? They didn't know, but I knew. Well, John Smith and I worked together on a program called GUTS. And we were working with these black boys who were in the eighth grade, and they were having trouble transitioning to ninth grade. And what would happen is the boys would drop out of school. Mm. So I came to John, we put together a program, and it worked. And I, you know, I'm not very shy, so I went to all of the retired men in Tallahassee and asked for money for the program. They gave it to me. I went
to the program was called GUTS. What did GUTS stand for, Mom?
So they were able to put together this program. He and I put together this program, and John Smith was honored by the Florida Bar for his work with these young people as a member of the U.S. military. And so I just wanted to show you that there were some connections that Dr. Smith had, not only locally, but in terms of the family and internationally. Okay?
And what did GUTS stand for?
You know what? I asked John. I can't remember. It was growing up, and I couldn't remember the rest of it.
It was growing, understanding, teaching, and succeeding.
Thank you, John.
And I actually have one of the shirts at home.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, thanks for that. And thank you for that, because that was a great program, Jerry, that you were the anchor for. And Dad gave a lot of support for that. And
his being your father had a whole lot to do with your helping me with it, too. So, and thank
you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody, listen, we got to wrap it up, and I've got to do station identification. But I want to thank my family, for being on your mom. Love you.
Uh-huh.
Celicia, love you, baby.
Thank you.
John, love you, brother. I'll see you guys at 11:30 at the post-show discussion.
Yes, and we love Andre, even though he's not here. We love him dearly.
Okay. All right. Love you, Andre.
They're not
feeling nobody. So, we got the post-show discussion coming up at 11:30, folks. If you go to the Sunday Forum Facebook page, you'll be able to partake by putting in your comments and things, because it will not be on the radio, air on the radio. It'll be on social media through Facebook, okay? Go to the Sunday Forum Facebook page, and you will be linked in for StreamYard, okay? So those people who have the link, you'll be able to use that link to come in. If you want to say something, just raise your hand, and we'll, you know, we'll allow you to come in to say a few words for the show. Okay. So listen, hey, listen. As normal folks, we want to say to everybody, from my voice to the radio waves to the hearts and the minds of the people, we love you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it here on the Sunday Forum. Playing as we go out is one of our father's favorites, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Midnight Train to Georgia. Peace.
This is Truth Radio, 88.5 WMNF.
He's come to know.